once this is over, whether on Earth or in heaven. We've already lost most of the cabinet and the State Department, NSA, FBI, and many other buildings. So, I'm not about to leave my post. He snaps, irritated that he must explain the dire situation.
Sir, when this is over, there will be few eyes for you to look into.
A sarcastic Pentagon five-star general pipes the defeatist comment not appreciated by the boss. Custer glares, rubs his nose, and nods.
Nobody leaves our post, General Titus. We're fighting to the end. Besides, Rufus, I haven't heard from our desert base. If they finish and get off the ground, it might change the battlefield dynamics.
Sir, they're offline as well.
The communication director explains, resolved to the dreadful implications while assuming he means Area 51.
They went dark for a reason, Captain. I don't think they're out of the game. Last I heard, Operation Voltaire was almost ready. So until we know for sure, we wait for their signal. What else can we do?
What about our families, Mr. President?
The State Department Secretary blurts results of an informal conference during the last bathroom break where he was chosen as their spokesman.
What about them, Fred? I don't want anybody risking their lives for rescue missions, and we have nowhere to take them. If they're underground and staying quiet, their chances are good. Besides, any communication might help the enemy zero in. The fact the White House and most of the city is leveled above ground is a good indicator of their intentions. Thankfully, this bunker does not appear to be detectable given its updated suppression design in 2018.
DOD Rufus Titus settles back in his leather chair as the chief of staff intervenes, hoping to ease tensions in the bunker and reduce the need for the boss to explain the situation.
Everyone, we all have family, but it makes no sense to put them in danger. We have 360 million people to look over. Nobody should get preference unless directly engaging these alien scumbags. Chances are half or more of the world's population might already be dead. Our first and only priority must be to stop them.
Billy Ray responded soberly.
And we may be the world's last hope.
The communication director waves a hand high and asks for quiet.
Hang on. I'm receiving a strange communication. It appears to be an odd code that could be gibberish. It's not Morse code, and the message is short. I can't make it out.
Tensions build as noise dwindles, except for weird phrases bouncing into his headphones.
Quiet down!
CIA boss Bob Covelli snarls.
Put it on the speaker, Captain!
Once all hear the odd phrases and words that are unintelligible, the president grins, once recognizing the Navajo code talker language he was advised to learn 2 years earlier. He then asked communications officer Blake to replay the cryptic message a second and third time as the boss scribbles notes.
It's Voltaire!
Custer blurts after seconds of the replay.
The message is codebreaker language from World War II. It indicates they are moving to engage with three vessels. ETA is within an hour or two.
Everybody does double take to ensure the boss is not sick or delusional. General Titus speaks first, as others are behind in the conversation.
The enemy is 100 miles above the surface, General Titus argues.
What in the hell is Voltaire? I've not been briefed.
Nobody was briefed, General, at my instructions. It has been in the works for several years, and we beefed up technical staff a year ago, inserted a new leader, and moved operations to speed things up